And in this way, will you let us go into the Word as the Lord leads, wherever we stop, wherever He cuts, we stop there. And if one is speaking and one stand by and feels a move of the Spirit to either do something or to move, then that one who is speaking must hold his feet and let the person whom God gives that move and do the job. It will just flow right in while we are in the Spirit.
Amen.
The only time it jars or hurts or disturbs is when somebody's not in the Spirit, and then immediately everybody knows. Amen. And the body will just pray towards correcting such a one without any rupture or any fight or struggle or something. Amen. The body of Christ has got to learn to work like Christ, rather than try to work like the world. Call him up before our committee and try, you know what I mean, and try to do the things with our physical that we should be doing in the Spirit. This is the kind of thing we have got to cease from doing, and the kind of understanding we have got to have of the new function, the difference between the old church order functioning and Jesus Christ functioning in His people. It's an entirely different thing. One sect goes by regulation, by rules, and the other sect, they go by the Spirit of God working in each person. Amen. It's not possible that the Spirit of God could tell me to do something that would be painful to you. And if there is pain, something, it's either that the pain was necessary to bring you blessing, or that I was wrong. And I must be willing at all times to see where my wrong is. For none of us want wrong. We want to be right all the while. And when we are wrong, it is a breach against the body. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's go into the Word. Amen. And the word tonight is 12 loaves of bread. 12 loaves of bread. Not one loaf. 12 loaves of bread. And that would be 738E4. 738E4. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. And we begin at the 23rd verse. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Jesus Christ is glorified in you. You are the glory of God. Let me explain again what is meant by glory. God does not want gold. Gold to God is trash. God doesn't want silver. God doesn't want pearls, rubies, diamonds. All that is just trash. A whole bunch of trash. He will dump it in his garbage bin. God doesn't want worlds, stars, suns, moons. They don't mean anything to Him. If God wants angels, He creates them. Amen. But God can't make one sun. God can't bend down and take earth and make one sun. God has to allow a sun to be born and grow up into sonship, and with his own free will turn to his God and say, "I want you, I don't want anything else." God said, "You need it." So he gave you all that you might want. And you say, I reject them. I don't want them. He put you through every temptation, every trial. Some of you are going through temptation, through trial, tribulation. You wonder what's going on along here. Is God rejecting me? God's just giving you a call. You told him you love him and you are a son. And he's just giving you all the things that will distract you to see if you're really mean what you're saying. Amen. And so, God cannot make one son. If he could have made sons, if he could satisfy his own heart to make a son, he would have made them and made them as obedient as ever they could be, as sweet as ever they could be. They would have no battles to fight. They would have no victories to win. Hallelujah. God would have them untried and they would never prove that they are really sons. But God wants people whom he can trust with his whole creation through the eternal ages to come. You understand what I'm talking about? I wonder if you half understand. You ever go outside and look up and see the billions of stars that you can see? And imagine the billions and billions that you cannot see. And imagine who God is. And imagine why is he making mansions in the sky? Why is he building those things up there? Why does he have them all? Hallelujah. You have an estate, a big estate. And you have nobody to take charge of it. And you have a little boy growing up. And you look at him and say, one day you're going to be in charge of it. Amen. And this is God and his creation. God is creative son. Through their own free will endeavor to take charge of God's business. This is what God wants. And so he said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Did you ever think of it? That the glory of God is you. You are the glory of God, and God has nothing else in which he glories except you. No matter how small you think yourself, no matter how weak you think yourself, no matter how bad you Christian are, God is glory in you. And in all your weakness, in all your smallness, in all your stumblings, in all your falling, God sees where you can make. Amen. And therefore he still glories in you. For you don't see you down there. You see you here. You see the you that is weak and halting and maimed and suffering. And you don't see the you down there because you are blind. But bless God, he's opening our eyes to look beyond ourselves and see the glory that God has reserved for us down yonder. Glory to God. Many of us would like to do great works. And the more works we do, the bigger we feel in God. It's not true. That's not true. The more of God you can absorb, and the more practical God you can have in here. You know what I mean by practical God? We have a theoretical God. Many of us have a theoretical God. We read the Bible, we believe the words. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe the words. But I am talking about the thing that becomes reality in your soul. When God is in you and is no longer a theory. Amen. When he is no longer in the realm of thought. When he is no longer in the realm of doubt, belief. No. I use a word here in the English. And I'm not thinking of the Bible meaning when I say in the realm of belief. For you know belief in English means doubt. Okay, you said, are you going out tomorrow? I believe so. You know, I believe so, but when I make sure, I'll call your attention.
So believe, in a sense in English, it means doubt, but not so in the Bible. When I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it means without the shadow of a doubt.
And somehow, I would love to change that word believe in the Bible. Although the English hasn't got any proper word to use to tell you what it means. But instead of that a certainty, a perfect certainty of a living God within you. For instance, when people were going about saying that God is dead, I thought it infradead, below my station, to go and tell a man that God is alive.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't tell a man God is alive. Because the dog outside knows that God is alive.
Yeah,
the cat knows that God is alive. I wouldn't tell a sensible man that God is alive. Because if there is no God, how did he come here? I mean, it's so simple that you wouldn't even have to tell a child that God is alive. Praise God. And so, Jesus said that the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, Jesus wasn't talking about where he was going or where he would be. He was talking about where he was at the time. There shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, what are we talking about? An entirely different thing from what the churches used to teach me. If they tell me that this passage means that where Jesus is in heaven, we are going up into heaven also, and that means we're going to be raptured off. But it's not true. He was saying that where I am. He was not speaking of geographic position. For if it was the geographic position, all of us would have to get up and fly down to Galilee, down into Israel. But Jesus was not talking about where he was. He was talking spiritually. And he was saying, look, brethren, I am stepping up. Jesus Christ, his life was divided into three. His first life, from 1 year to 30 years of age, he worked as a carpenter. Amen. And he did not take up his ministry. From the age of 30 to 33 and a half years, he took up his ministry and he ministered to the lost sheep of Israel. Amen. Amen. So we see that his ministry was divided into three parts. Now, as to what part of that ministry you and I are in, it's according to where we are in our operation. But those of us who are in the ministry of Jesus Christ before his resurrection, we need to minister until we hit our resurrection. For we are still dead, not raised yet. God said, unless a corn of wheat falls into the earth and dies,
And then he went further to explain what he meant. He said you have to give up your life. Your natural life in this world.
It's as plain as ABC. Let's see if we can see that again here.
And he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, bring it forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. See what I mean? So it is a matter of whether you are involved with the world or you are involved with God. Amen. Amen. You involved with the world, it means that you must be working towards the point where you become involved with God. Now, the man or the woman who is involved with God can do anything. He's free to do anything in the world. Why? Anything he touches is going to turn it over to God. Hallelujah. Don't you see what I'm saying? I was giving the brethren this evening the joke about the man in the office who used to talk rude jokes to me. He would come and he would tell me the smuttiest joke. And he would watch my reaction. And I, without thinking, would sit down very quietly while he's telling me the smoky joke. And after the joke is finished, I would say, well, that is just like such and such a man in the Bible. And I'd tell him the whole story, the whole Bible story. And he would go off with his wing broken. And he'd come back again and zap me with some dirty story again. And without thinking again, I would go off and start telling, you know, that happened in the scriptures. And at such and such a point in the scriptures. And finally, one day, he turned at me and he said, man, you must know the whole Bible. Everything I say, you say it is in the Bible. And he never came back. See, but it is an involvement with God. You can see the dirtiest thing out there. And instead of your mind turning to the dirt, your mind turns to God. Amen. In other words, you cannot be contaminated by the filth and the mire around you. Because you are not in that realm. Amen. That food won't go down into your stomach, spiritually speaking. You are involved with God. And this is what I'm saying, brethren. I remember being in very good jobs, you know, being in government and being in good jobs and being an accountant. Being a teacher and everything like that. And as I, the first thing God did to me, he said, leave that job. Leave the job. And I said, well, God, you know, give me a week, give me a month. And so and God came into me and said, I'm going to kill you if you don't leave the job. Man, and I felt so ashamed that God should talk to me like that. I felt so ashamed. I said, but how could God talk to me like that? You know. And I got ashamed and I ran outside and wrote my resignation. Put down, gave it to. I said, but you crazy. Said, we're just going to make you chief accountant in this department. And everything like that. I said, well, I'm sorry. I just have to go. I have to go. You know? I know they wouldn't understand if I told them God, but I don't turn them out and say, I have to go, I can't do it. And I went, took up my little suitcase, and went on the pasture, and down where the church is. This time I had already started the church, and just sat down on the pasture, waiting for God to tell me what to do. And one day, the brethren came together, and they said, well, where are we going to make him stay, you know, and so on and so forth. And they finally agreed to let me stay with Brother Gray. And when I was to stay with Brother Gray, where Brother Gray lived was on a hill that went right up like this for about 3 miles. And no matter who you are, when you reach the top of that hill, you are wet, completely through and through. And they call it Top Hill. And you would walk top hill, and when it rained, You had to creep someplace on your hand or your knee, because if you'd slip back, man, you're gone down, down, down. And so there was no road there at that time. They have built a road there since. But we used to go up and down from that hill to service night and day. And we had a little bed. It was a single bed. And sometimes three or four of us would sleep on the one single bed. And this, when I saw how those people lived, my heart bled, because they had no food. Sometimes one dumpling for the day, a dumpling this size, one or two dumplings with some coconut oil poured over it, and that's what these people ate for a day. And if you see them work, you'd think they were tractors. One man would take a hoe and he would weed one square of land. That's 22 yards by 22 yards. You'd weed that square of land clean with a hand hoe, going like a machine all day. And I went up there, worked with them, and weeded with them, and hoed with them, and bless God Almighty, I'm showing you, I didn't care about that. That didn't matter to me. What work I did didn't matter to me. I said, God, if you want me to be a street sweeper. In Jamaica, they call the street sweepers scavengers. And that's the most menial job you could have, a street sweeper. And I said, if you want me to be a street sweeper, I would just sweep streets, because I would be just laughing that I'm going to sweep the street and catch some soul for God. Amen. So it didn't matter to me what I was doing with my hand or with my body, while I was just in the will of Father God. Amen. Praise His holy name. And bless God Almighty, for a man who was working in the courthouse there, and assistant to the prosecutor, and going on for judge. I could be Judge Longo for many years. I could be the head of my department over there. I could be the teacher and own the school. Is he build one of the biggest schools in Kingston, and continue building schools and building churches at the same time. So I could really be there if I wanted to, but God take me down and let me go weed the grass. And let me tell you something, in Jamaica, man, you weed grass and they just finish with you. You it's a peculiar system. There are some jobs that are menial. And a certain person of a certain caliber, you just can't do that job if you're dying of hunger. You couldn't. A teacher, for instance, couldn't go out there and start being like a laborer weeding ground or taking a job over here or there. He couldn't do it, you see. And so there's the British system, quite different from America. Thank God for the American system. Praise God. You got a utopia here. Amen. That is really smashing up at this time. But it's a wonderful system, and I think it's about the best in the world. And the people here don't know it, so praise God. Amen. I just bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. So we come back to that point. God wants you to give up and to do anything for Him. You have to die. He said, unless the corn of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth alone. So therefore you have to die to even the very ambition that you have. You have to give up the things that you used to think to be great. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody wanted to be president of the United States. You have to give it up. Amen. If you want to be a child of God walking after Jesus. And so this is what he said. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world. What's your life in this world? You hate it. And when it comes to this word hate here, is used in a sense that as against the life in Christ, that is anathema. Curses. You understand? In other words, it cannot rival the life in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. You will destroy it, you'll cast it aside if it comes up to challenge or to rival the life in Jesus Christ. So he said, ye that hate that. This word doesn't mean that you don't do a work in the world, you don't do natural work, and so on. So that's not what it means. But it means that it will not take first place in your life anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this world. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Oh, what a blessed word. Somebody said, I'm going to serve God. And you know what? His idea in his little mind is of serving God, running down the street and catching a few souls. That's all his idea of serving God. He would do anything else. Skullduggery. Oh, do you know that word? Mm-hmm. Amen. You'd do anything else, no matter how menial and how low. I'm going to use another word. It's coming. I almost said all niggerish. I understand that you don't use that word very much in this country. But the word niggerish means how bad in Jamaica. If a person calls you a nigger in Jamaica, he doesn't mean that your skin is black. He just means you're a low down creature. So I will have to watch our language. So no matter how low and how base the thing may be, he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Amen. So serving God is following Jesus. Can we get it? Mm-hmm. Now, how do we follow Jesus? Walk down the street and a guy come and wallop you. And you turn the other cheek and he wallop you again. Is that really following Jesus? Amen. It could be, but it could not be. It could be that you are only obeying what the Bible says you must do. And if it's not from the heart, it's not reality, it's not serving God in truth. It's just serving Him by law. It's a legalistic system, you see. In the churches, we are taught how to walk. We're taught how to talk. Praise the Lord. Sister, so and brother, it's a voluntary humility. I don't want you to lose the blessing by laughing it out. But that action I just brought up was a voluntary humility action. I saw a man doing that, walking up to the altar. And God said, the priest of Baal. Yes, that's what I heard. He was going up to the altar. It's the priest of Baal. That's not necessary for serving God. You see, we can serve God by obeying the words in the Bible because we know that's the way we're supposed to act, but it's not worked in our hearts. Hallelujah! Amen. Blessed be the God Almighty. But the day when I got this word in my heart, I found that in me that there was a savage beast. Oh, we would tear to pieces and I was just so afraid of the beast that was in me. I'm just saying, Lord God, one day somebody's going to come against me and I won't be able to control myself. And I'm fasting and praying over this beast that is in me. And so after I had fasted and prayed at work, as an accountant, working in the office, I fasted and prayed for a week. Then a young man, we just took on a young fellow who was all full of life and liked to fight and all that sort of thing. And so one day I was saying, well, Billy, you must do better than this. I said, man, everything you do, I've got to do it over. And you're not helping at all. You're not paying any attention to your work. You have too many mistakes. We can't trust you with the books. And while I have my head down there talking to him, he just came right along and wham! Walloped me straight off the seat. And I jumped back. And the devil said, get him. And brother, I did everything that I could to stop myself from getting him. And my hands start trembling at me. Because every mistake he would make, he would fire a blow at me like this. And his arm was left out there. And the devil said, give it to him under the right arm. And the arm would jump and I hold it. And he would come in and bam, bam, bam. And he was giving them to me right and left. And I just saying, Jesus, you know, Jesus. And I don't want to hit him. And I just praying for him. And in my heart, really, I kind of was sorry for the boy. And God was working something in me. And when he gave me the last one, look, and it ripped across here and took off the skin under my shirt, he backed off and went to his seat. And just a joy swelled up in me. And I began to laugh. You know. The blessed thing, it was the greatest blessing I'd ever received in my life, single blessing after my salvation. The greatest blessing is that I was not mad. Because if I had got mad, there would be no hope. And I didn't get mad, I had such a pity and a sorrow for him. So God had worked his nature in me without my knowing. And I resisted that day. Not because the Bible said I should resist, but deep down in my heart, I didn't want to hurt him. And I didn't know what I would do to face the people, to tell them that as a Christian, I got mad and knocked him down. And so he came over to my chair and he said, today I have found out that you're. And he said, you are the first Christian I've met in my life. And he just shook my hand and went back to his seat. So, praise God, I am trying to show you the difference between reality and just doing the thing because you know that that is right. One man act by law, by regulation. Somebody said, then all right, come on. Give me the formula of how I can walk into perfection. Amen. The formula is just submit to the Holy Ghost and let him work it in you. For without that work in you, all you do matters nothing. Can you imagine that, brother? That you can go out and do great miracles and it don't matter anything to God. Mm. Your miracles don't mean one thing to God. God never will pay you for miracles. Mm. He does it. He's the one who does the miracles, not you. God's not going to give you any crowns or any great victory for doing miracles. Mm-hmm. So what? And we have a bad tendency. We have a tendency to believe that the man that comes on here and with power, and so that's a great man. My goodness, amen. You think this little place here could hold people tonight if we had a man raised from the dead yesterday? The curious would come with all their minds working around them. They want a show. That's why the theaters are filled. That's why the amusement parks are filled tonight. They want something exciting. They want a big show. That's why they follow Kathleen Kuhlman. That's why they follow Oral Roberts. Because they want the miracles. But praise God. God's getting some of them. But what I am saying here is that we need to walk in the reality of God. Let me tell you something. If you want to help your brother, you know the greatest way to help your brother is to receive the power of God within yourself. And every desire God set in your heart shall be brought to pass. If one of us become perfect, if Brother Italy become perfect tonight, man, I would just leap and jump and dance because I know that I've got it now. Since he is perfect, he's going to pray for me. I was a perfect also. Have no problem. Once one man make it. And what we are doing, in effect, most of us are looking at one, he is not doing right. That one not doing good over there. The other one should be better. And this is what are we doing? If we were doing what we ought to have done, then we could just zap him with some power and make him better. Since he wants to be better and he can't be better. Amen. You see, so this is what Jesus is saying here. If any man serve me, say, let him follow me. And where I am, that position in Christ, where I am, there he will be also. The position that Jesus occupied, we will occupy that position also. And he is the head, and we are the body. So when the head rises, the body rises too. But you don't see the body because it's on the ground. But you see the head coming up. So Jesus said, rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that I am stepping out of this place. For where I am, you will come in. And as I step higher, you will come up higher. Hallelujah. And look at this statement. He said, if I be lifted up, what's going to happen? I will draw all men toward me. He was speaking in two realms at the same time. He was speaking in the natural and in the spiritual. If I be lifted up on a cross, hallelujah. If I be crucified, that crucifixion is going to draw all men to God. Amen. For I'm going to rise. That's what he was saying. Amen. So you can understand this phrase here. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Praise God. Now I want to turn on a little more. And let us turn back to John 6 and verses 47 to 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. What's he saying here? If you believe on Jesus, the belief that you believe on Jesus gives you everlasting life because Jesus is the bread of life. Amen. What's he saying? He's saying that the moment you believe on him, you will become a part of the bread. That's in effect what he's saying. When you believe on him, you have him. And once you have him, you only have a part of him.
but your sister has a part of him, and you, and you, and you, and you, and the many yous become the full bread, with the head of the bread, Jesus. You understand what he's talking about? This is where the communion comes in. Why you commit a crime against the body of Jesus Christ when you have communion with the wrong body, and at the same time you come back and have the communion with Christ's body? Because when I break the bread and give you a part of it, I'm saying, brother, this bread is Christ, you are a part of it, and I am a part of this bread. And so we are both part of Christ's body. But if I go and break the bread with another group of people who are against the body of Christ, then I'm doing the thing opposite Paul. Then how could you eat of the table of devils and eat of the table of God at the same time? You don't understand what you're doing. That's what he said to the brethren. Amen. That's why we have the message tonight, 12 loaves of bread. And I never mentioned anything about 12 loaves of bread. But 12 is the number of completion. 12 is the number of completion. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life, but you are the completing of that bread. You are going to complete the bread of life. For if Jesus is the bread, you are also bread. Amen. And even as Jesus was given for the life of the world, so there is no life in the world except you. You are the life of the world, and in the same sense, you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Now, what is bread? Bread energy, light, energy. So you see, Jesus will give you different symbolic names for the same thing. God is saying, Jesus is the bread of life. But watch it now. In the tabernacle, the moment you cross the veil and enter through the door, amen, you come upon 12 loaves of bread. And these 12 loaves of bread are situated on a table with a crown around it. And this table is called the table of showbread. Table of showbread. Now, the 12 loaves represent the completion of bread. Jesus is the bread, but he always refers to himself as one loaf of bread. But you are the rest of the bread. Amen. And so when we take the communion, we are actually offering up our lives again to the world for the healing and the deliverance of the world, in as Jesus Christ offered his life for the healing of the nations and the deliverance of the world. But there is no energy in this world. There is no life in this world except you. Hallelujah. If ever Christian left the world this moment, the Holy Ghost would leave. Amen. Amen. This is the reason I don't believe in a rapture as such as is preached by the church. I believe in a rapture, a lifting up, a caught up of the saints.
But I don't believe in the rapture as is taught by the churches. Because if the Lord take away all the Christians, the world here would be left to damnation. Yes, sir. The world would be left to complete damnation. There would be no more hope for the world and for what is left here. And I know Jesus is in the saving business. No matter what happens, the more fire down here, the more salvation going to be down here. The bigger the revival we're going to have down here. Yeah. When fire light is down here and trouble start taking humanity. Hallelujah. The American people are a people of plenty. Then he went on to explain. He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they are dead. That manna was only a type of the true bread, the true manna. For that manna couldn't give eternal life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Blessed be the God Almighty. Have you reached the state, brethren, where you are giving your flesh for the life of the world, or are you at the stage where you want to preserve your flesh? You know, when we talk about tribulation, let me tell you, this is the reason why the doctrine of the church is what it is. Because they are preaching a softy doctrine to suit the mood of the people. And if you notice that the churches that preach the rapture have the most people. Because the people feel satisfied and they are not disturbed at all. And some people, you preach to them about the tribulation and they can't sleep all night. Amen. And they worry and they say they won't go back to that place because they preach about tribulation and they are disturbed. Amen. But Jesus Christ said here that he, Jesus, is giving his flesh for the life of the world. Amen. And Jesus expects you to reach to the stage where your flesh don't matter much. And your life don't matter much. Somebody said, I could accept the doctrine and the gospel that you're preaching, but when it comes to my children, I'm just fretting and worried over them. What kind of God you have that won't keep your children?
Amen.
Amen. If it's a God to be trusted, if it's a God to believe in, then my children are all right. Man is in the hand of God, okay. Amen. Why should my flesh be so precious? Glory to God, amen. When I think of the children, the people of God in China, when I think of Watchman Nee, when I think of the suffering the man goes through for years and years and years, when I think of the pain and the blood that is shed over that country, amen. They say they kill something like 14,000 a day or something like that in China. When you think of that, what value is your flesh more than the flesh of the other Christians who have suffered and faced the music? Amen. But God values you. Amen. Not because you value your flesh to be precious, but God values you because God is giving these people a goal. And let me tell you something. God gave the people in China 30, 40 years ago this same message. This same message and this same push that he's giving us now. And they did not accept it. And the communists came in and tore that church to pieces.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. There were many people against Watchman Nee. He had enemies. You know who were his enemies? They won't talk now. The denominations that you have here were the enemies of Watchman Nee.
fighting him tooth and nail. He had to go into business with a friend of mine to make a living and to survive. Amen. And when the communists came in, he and this family who he was friendly with took the last plane out of China. And while the plane was lifting off the field, bullets were passing through, and it never hurt them. And they flew off to Hong Kong and made it safely. Hallelujah. And what my knee began to think and to pray. And let me tell you, they had a lot of money with them. Long bars of gold they had with them. And Watchman, he turned around to his partners and his brethren and said, I'm going back. They said, but you're crazy. He said, you will be doing much good more for the church if you stay here and give the church your experiences of. He said, I'm going back. He walked back to the border, was arrested and scared him. And they didn't kill him. They put him in prison and had him there writing and translating books. But he did what was going to satisfy his heart, what he felt the Lord Jesus was saying in his heart. He wasn't afraid to die. He wasn't afraid of his flesh. All the other Christians were being murdered. And watch my knee got out. And he turned back and went back and said, well, if dear flesh can be slaughtered, why not mine? And he turned right back. These brethren who came over with him, they are still in the United States here. Amen. He died last June. After years and years of suffering, his wife died some months before. But praise be to God. I just gave you that little story to show you what Jesus meant. If a man's whole plan in life is to preserve his own flesh, then he is not at the point yet where he can say, I am the bread of life. Amen. When you are going to pray, brethren, many people don't know the things they need to pray about. Let me give you a little idea of what you can pray about. When you go to pray, thank you, Jesus. I am the bread of life. Let me be for the feeding of your people. Let my flesh be for the feeding of your people. And let my blood be drink for your people. You are speaking symbolically now, because Jesus Christ never meant that they should cut him off hunk by hunk and eat him. Neither do you. You just mean that all your energy, that all of God given life, is not yours. It's for people of God. Glory to God in the highest. Some of the brethren believe that if they are a prophet, if they are a gift of healing, if they have the gift of singing and blessing God's people, that is their gift. It's not your gift. What would God want to give you gift for? To make you make money and get rich? You better believe it. That's a misuse of God's gift. Hallelujah. God would give you a gift if you were going to use it for his people. Because I tell you something, the people of God is the glory of God. Amen. The people of God is his glory. He said, if you touch them, you touch the apple of his eye. God is more interested in the little ones that cry and sigh and that love him and walk with him and will give all their hearts for him. Hallelujah. Not in the big preachers. Yes, sir. God is more interested in the little people who will serve him than the big preachers. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, brethren, that God wants people to see themselves in the place where Jesus was when he was here. Because he said, where I am now, you will be. Get it? He
was not talking about going up into heaven. Please, he said, I go to prepare mansion for you, that where I am. Praise God. Where I am, ye may be also. Glory to God. And that carried a double meaning. That where I am gone, you will be there too. And as high as I go, you will come. For I am head of your body, and head can't leave body. Very far, at least. Except as far as the neck. So can you understand? Can you understand that the vital understanding of the head comes through the neck? The neck is just the time that separates me from Jesus. The neck is the time which separates me from Jesus. The vital communication from the eyes come through down to the leg, and the leg jumps. Amen. The leg didn't see anything. But the eye told him to move quickly, and he jumped, and something passed there, and it didn't hit the leg. Because the eye was in communication through the neck with the head, with the legs. Amen. So we see Jesus operating not as a divided thing, but as a unit, as one man. This is the man God is talking about that will come through the earth. Let me tell you, brethren, if a preacher come here and preach to you that he is the man that God sent for this hour, tell him, brother, we know better than that. Amen. Correct your gospel, brother. Yes, correct your gospel. We know better than that. We know God is putting down men and putting up a body. Amen. The body of Jesus Christ, of the only man we are going to recognize. Amen. The one man company. And anybody comes dividing the body of Jesus Christ, tell him, brother, get in order. Love him to death. Love him to death and just tell him, brother, get in order. Get in order. God's doing something that you don't see, brother. Amen. God's bringing a body to life. Amen. Resurrecting a people to be like Jesus Christ, because Jesus is resurrected and God's people ought to be resurrected also. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah. We're partially resurrected. Part of us, right? The other part, not up yet. Amen. You ever wake up and your head still remain on the pillow and yet your body is getting up? Amen. It's a partial resurrection that can happen. Head still holds down and it's part getting up. In this case, it is the head that has got up and gone over. And the body is not yet out. So we are coming up with Christ. And the Bible said we are exalted with him in the heavenly places. We are with him up there, and our resurrection is certain. Why? Because Christ is raised. Amen. Christ is resurrected and you have Christ in you. You should just smile. I am resurrected because Christ is resurrected. Amen. I am the bread because Christ is the bread. I am to feed the world because Christ is the life of the world. The energy and the strength and the deliverance of all humanity lies within you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now what is our duty? If we submit to the thing in us, then we are going to resurrect. Now some people want to submit so badly that they find a good elder to submit to, or a good pastor to submit to, or a ministry to submit to. And the Bible said we must submit one to another. So what could the Bible mean when he said submit one to another? And yet, listen, brethren, don't go too far. It's the Christ in your brother you're going to submit to, just not him. Amen. When he's moving in Christ, you're just sweet and submissive. Amen. Amen. Because the Christ in you say yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And when he starts getting all this done, no, no. Yes. So it is a yes and no business. And when the brother is in Christ and he's manifesting right in Christ, your Holy Ghost inside say yes, yes, yes. And when he starts going off into self, it's a no, no. So you have a yes, yes in there and a no, no also. And if you don't have that, then you don't know good from evil. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, he shall eat butter and honey, that he may choose the good and refuse the evil. This is the butter and honey that is being daubed all over your mouth. And God is saying, you must eat butter and honey, because this honey, this strong food, is going to make you be able to choose good from evil, not from upstairs, but from midway down. Yes. Not from the mind. Not because I think that this is good and I think that that is evil. And what is good? Good is so and so, and evil is so and so. You don't think. You don't think. You just feel it inside here. No more. I can't take it. One time God ridiculed me, chastised me for agreeing with the devil. God said, if you were right inside, you would not have agreed to the wrong. Though you didn't know it was the wrong. You just rejected. Don't you see? The devil came talk to me. The devil was telling me some things to do. But the devil came right in on my weakness. For I wanted to be the good pastor. The pastor who could read the minds of all the people around here and tell them all that was in their hearts. And the devil just came right around and started telling me all about everybody. Bless God, you can imagine the pack of lies. Oh, you that dumped me once and for all. But I jumped up and was ready to write down everything that he was down. And I heard a voice cry out, Satan, you're a liar from the beginning. And I always thought of it. Why did God intervene? Why did he save me? At that moment, because I thought it was God. And God would never allow such a thing. God would never allow you to be honestly thinking that God told you so and so when it was the devil. If your thoughts are pure, if your intentions are pure. You see, I had that one wrong thing in me, and God had to get it out, so he sent the devil to really give me something there and to show me up, so that I knew that I had that bad intention in me to think evil of my brethren. See, now we come back. The bread of life, then. The 12 loaves of bread shows the completion of life. And the completion of life. Let's shift from here, though we could go on more, you know. But the main thought here is given according to the reference of the message. It is the 12 loaves of bread. Now these 12 loaves of bread, it shows the table of God. This is the king's table because it has a crown around it. As a matter of fact, it had two crowns. Now one crown was there on top, and I don't know if you ever see some tables with a kind of crown piece. We call this the style piece. I don't know if that's what you call it, but like this table here, this piece, a crown would be here and a crown would be here. And between the two crowns, what you know? The breadth of a man's hand. The breadth of a man's hand. Now, there are two things on that table which refers to humanity. And the first one is the breadth of the man's hand here, this width here, between the two crowns. And the next thing is the wood It's made of wood overlaid with gold. Now it means man, humanity, covered over completely with God, God's nature. God, humanity must never turn up in the teachings in the church. I must never teach you what I think. Hallelujah. Greater than that, I must never teach you what Scofield thinks. I must never teach you what Dick thinks. I must never teach you what the great theologians think. I must only teach you what is made life to me. Hallelujah. The revelation that is made life to me. So then that means I'm going to need you. Yes. I'm going to need you, and I'm going to need you. Why? Because I'm not going to get on. My feet have to teach me how to walk. My head don't know how to walk. My hands don't know how to talk. My eyes don't know how to smell. Neither my ears can see. And each member has to teach the other members how their particular function works. This is what we mean by a body ministry. Hallelujah. You see what I'm talking about? So, the man's hand on the table of God's feeding means that this thing is human. The whole operation of man teaching man is an operation of God. The little baby can come and teach you some sense, like the little boy down in Alabama, in Florence. This big old truck coming under the underpass, fastened under the underpass, and the police cars flashing lights, and the big police officers strutting around, and the crane pulling, and nothing can happen. They are, as it were, going to take down the whole underpass. And the little boy went up to the police inspector, draw his coat.
What do you want?
Said, why don't you let down the air, take all the air out of the tires? And that was it. All of a sudden, wisdom came from the smallest one in the crowd. Let the air out of the tires. And so they did, and the big old truck passed on to the pass. So, here it is. Man has got to teach man through the wisdom of the Spirit. Never despise teaching. The littlest one, and we've got to encourage them. For some people just come into church to listen, not even realizing that they have something to say. Amen. Amen. I was in a congregation where a child of 3 years of age, now, if I'm making a mistake here, you just tell me. Was she three? Oh, you weren't there. You sure? Anyhow, this little baby was 3 years of age, and she could just barely talk. And they had a problem among the elders. And the problem was so big that they had made their decision. And this decision, from what I understand, was pertaining to a brother. What they were going to do to this brother, probably they were going to call him up in council and talk to him. Amen. And the little baby, the brother said, anybody has anything to say, if anybody has a revelation from the Lord before we ask brother to sister to speak, let the person come. And she... Well, I was just ready for some fun, because I thought it was funny. And she came up and she said, I saw a big knife going like this, just like this. She was showing the cutting motion.
And she said, I saw brother so-and-so hand get in the way and the knife just cut the hand off. And he said, my God. He said, brethren, God has changed our plans. God is saying we must take our fleshy hands out of the way. 3 years of age. God said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, he will ordain strength. And I am telling you that to tell you this, that we need every man's revelation, every woman's revelation. We cannot afford to make our women speechless. And I'm speaking directly scripture. Scripture, the Bible said, I suffer not the woman to speak or to teach or to usurp our time. And any man who is godly, let him take that piece of scripture before God and see what it says. To me and to everyone that is spiritual, that scripture is saying that the woman must not usurp authority. And in the natural, it was speaking of the natural women in that church that used to get up and cause confusion in the church. And in the spiritual, it is speaking of the spiritual woman, the church, which includes men and women who are out of the Spirit, who are talking without the Spirit, teaching in their own knowledge and in their own self-will. And Paul was saying the woman must not usurp authority. Amen. It's a long teaching because we'd have to go to 1 Corinthians 11 and speak of where he speaks. The woman must have power on her head. Our head must be covered before our husband. And he was not talking natural women. He wasn't talking natural women, because if it means that a woman can't pray unless she has a little hat on, she would have a hard time when God is talking to her in bed. Because we have had that problem. Women go to bed with their hats. Amen. And wake up in the night and God talking to them and they start prophesying and forget that they don't have the hat on their head and they grab for a hat and, oh my, you know what I mean. And men like me, walking and talking with the Lord, have to take off my hat and it's raining and I have my hat in my hand talking with the Lord, can't put on my hat because against God to pray with your hat on. Amen. The people became carnal in their interpretation of God. Amen. God is not carnal. Amen. So if you want to take the word woman to mean woman, you go through the Bible with it and see what happens to you. Your old Bible will turn upside down, because in the Bible the woman has three meanings. And you've got to understand that God speaking the spirit you have. And he said the woman must not usurp authority, because the woman, the church, must not speak when Christ is there. When the church meet together, Jesus is the head, and it's only Jesus must speak in the church. So if a man get up to give an idea of what he thinks, or he's a board member, he's out of order. God is saying the woman is talking and the Christ should be talking. The man, the husband, amen, of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, even as man is over woman in the natural, so is Christ over the church. Amen. Same way. And he said, as Christ is over the church in the natural, so is God is over Christ. Hallelujah. It's as simple as ABC. But you've got to know your alphabet. So, 12 loaves of bread.
completion of energy and life lies within the church. And when we come to communion table to eat bread, we are breaking one another's bread. Yes, that's what we're doing. We are feeding from one another of the life. I'm going to make few references before I close. I refer to 28th chapter of Isaiah. I don't think we need to find it. We're speaking of where filth and vomit is on the table. Remember that scripture? 28th chapter, I think it's somewhere around the 6th verse. He said, there's filth and vomit everywhere. And then he went on further. He said the priest and the prophet are out of the way. He said they are out of the way through strong drink and through wine they are out of the way. He said they err. They stumble in judgment. They err in vision. Isn't that right? They err in vision. So you can see he's talking metaphorically, on the spiritual plane. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. He wasn't talking about men drinking wine and stumbling all over there. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about a spiritual stumbling and a spiritual blindness. Hallelujah. Therefore, if the stumbling is spiritual, err with the word of God and they stumble in judgment. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. Now praise be to God. And he said then, because of this erring in vision, because of this stumbling in judgment, hallelujah, he said, filth and vomit is everywhere. What's the meaning of that? Brother, when you eat from God's table, you take it in. And God says, if you're a clean animal, what you'll do? You'll chew it and you'll bring it up again and you'll chew it again. So it shows the chewing of the cud. But when it gets sour on your stomach, when it's bad, you can't be digested, what you do? You bring it up again. Bad picture. Now, prepare your stomachs for this one. He said the dog is turned back to his vomit, eating it. And he says the hog to his wallowing in the mire. What the picture God is giving is men who formulate theories inside of themselves and vomit it out on the people, and the people eat that and get indigestion. Oh no, that's a picture of Halloween. It's a terrible picture, but I'm glad it's not supper time. You just forget what I say when you get to supper. But this is the picture the Bible gives of a set of priests and prophets and preachers who are vomiting up their own minds on the people. What they make up inside, they give people their own theories. Amen. You need living bread. You need to feed from the body of Christ. Unless you get from the body of Christ, you get stale meat. Stale bread, digested food from somebody who couldn't digest. You hear what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said, you take the law, you make laws and rules that you yourself can't keep, and yet you put it as a burden upon God's people to keep. The whole church system is a system of man making rules for man to live by. Church doctrine, church rules, regulations are things that they make and they put as a burden on people. What they want is Jesus.
They want Jesus, and that precludes every rule. You know why? If you have Jesus, you're above every law. God said, and love, against which there is no law. Love is above all law. And regardless of what people are going to say about your love, you're on top of them. Hallelujah. Love, glory to God, is above all law. So you see, eating the bread is eating the body of Christ. Feeding upon the body of Christ. Oh, what a blessed scripture. It comes from Songs of Solomon. That tell me, O my beloved, where thy flocks feed. He said, tell me, my beloved, where thy flocks feed by night. And it said, the lover went and she found the shepherds. And they told her where his flocks feed by night. For she wanted to get down there and feed with the flock of God. Glory to God in the highest. You really get me tonight.
Praise,
praise God. This is the way God's word comes. All you need to be the channel, brother. You don't have to study any method to come tell God people, give them canned of food. Yes, you don't have to keep a canning factory. Maybe go to Bible school to get all some old stale canned food from 1890. and you can it up and give them tomato pies. This is why the people lack energy, lack spiritual energy, lack the spirit to do or to move for God, because they have been eating old food canned up from the rapture doctrine started in 1865, somewhere about there. 36. Somewhere there.
Started in England.
The rapture doctrine, imagine that. Nobody was going up in rapture before 1836. Somebody tell me, if you don't keep this kind of doctrine, if you don't belong to this church, you will be lost. I said, when did the church start? It started in 18 something with sister so and so and brother so and so. I said, and what happened to all the people before that? Say, well, God winked at David, man. Amen. Blessed be God. The people of God need to get an appetite for nothing but God. And when they bring the stale food and the trash and the truck before you, you reject it.
Amen.
Amen. You're hungry but not for trash.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, hungry, hungry, hungry. Want food but not hungry for trash. When they bring trash, you say, you don't eat trash. You want food. Amen. Let's be the God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I couldn't close. It's a beautiful time. I couldn't close unless I take you to the result, the last final result of eating that bread. Amen. God said, ye are lively stones built up a spiritual household. Praise God. But if you take a lively stone and you put that lively stone in a certain condition under the earth, under great pressure, and put that stone under great heat and pressure, you know what happened to the stone? It becomes a diamond or a pearl or a ruby or a jacinth or an amethyst or a carabuncle. Amen.
I'm giving you Bible names. Charles could give you the modern names for them. Praise God. I'm looking forward one day to see him write that book that God has been giving him with the stones of the breastplate. Very, very interesting. If you notice that Lucifer had nine of these stones. Lucifer had nine of these stones, but he lacked the stone which was to bring him into perfection. Amen. To make him a son. This is why I'm telling you that God doesn't make anybody into sonship. He leaves you, gives you the power to become sons of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. Give you the power, give you the power into your hand to become sons of God. He said, okay boy, if you want to take it. Amen. So, these 12 loaves, which is energy, when you eat the 12 loaves, you become a light. And you become a stone like the 12 tribes of Israel. Turn your Bibles around with me to Revelation. Praise God. To Revelation. Praise the Lord. What chapter is it now? 21. We had 12 loaves, we had 12 tribes of Israel, we had 12 apostles, and then we had 12 gates. Find me, 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now, the foundation of the wall, I want to just dwell on that for 5 minutes maybe, or just a little less than 5 minutes. The wall is that thing which separates one thing from another. And every wall has an inside and an outside. So God says that the walls of the city are that which was going to make the difference between that man and this man. That's the wall. Was the pearl. Was the precious stone. Was the gem. See what I mean? What's going to make the difference between you and the people of the world is what you take in. The energy that you take in, that's what you're going to give off. God's law still persists. You can't give off more than what you take in. You can't get out of a bucket more than what you put into it. Amen. And so we see that the 12 loaves which you eat, which is a completion of energy and life, is going to come forth into light. And this is what we're reading about here. Verse the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysophasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th amethyst. 12 foundations. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. Not street, people talking about golden streets. That's not in the Bible. God talking about one street. And let me tell you something, sister. If people are going to use you, if somebody is going to use you and your life to come to Christ Jesus, you are a street of gold. Because if you show forth Jesus and you show forth God, and somebody through the light they see shining in you come to Jesus, you are the way by which they came. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am saying, Sister McCoy is the way, the truth and the life for somebody. Don't you see? Hallelujah. Just as Jesus is in this world, so are we. That's what the scripture says. If Jesus is the way, we are also the way for many. Hallelujah. How many people would never see the light of day if Brother Higley hadn't gone and found them in their darkness and bring them out through the light that is in him? He couldn't do much more than what is in him. The light that is in him is Jesus. And somebody saw Jesus and followed that way through the darkness. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Go, Rabadatanda. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody saw your light. You know what flashes to me? That before I got saved, and it's the first that I am understand of this part of it, I heard Opus number 10, Chopin, playing in the night. And it was dark. And I was going through the darkness, feeling the fences going along. And a door opened. And I went through the door towards the music. And when I reached the door, it just gradually opened. And I saw a big, beautiful green hall before me, and a lady was sitting at the piano playing. And I was so enthralled by the music and the touch of the piano, I went into the hall and stood there, and she said, we have long waited for you. She said, we have long waited for you. She said, go and take the food to the household for the wedding. Amen. Said, everybody is waiting on you to bring the food. And you know what I was carrying? Raw food. And presently I turned from her. They began to light. And I started to go to this farm where I should get the food for the household. And when I went there, the man said, give him 1,000 pounds of food for the household. And they put 1,000 pound weight on my back, and I staggered off with it for the household. That was part of the vision. But the part that came to me was how I traveled through the night and the woman. And I just remembered now, it was a woman that told me about Jesus and challenged me to go challenge Jesus. Say, I dare you. You said, go. You tell Jesus what you've been telling me here. Tell God that I say you can save. He can save through Jesus. And I said, okay. I'm just thinking of it now, that was the woman in the vision that saved me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In the natural, it was a natural woman. In the spiritual, it was the church. But thank you, Jesus. This is the end of the message. That the food you eat is going to be the light you show. Hallelujah. And that we should seek after reality with God rather than after great works. For great works will profit us nothing. But whatever we get in here, that is the greatest work on earth. For it's going to break forth from us like a torrent upon those who need it. That is the greatest work. See, some of us are concentrated on the work, and missing the inner peace, the inner strength, the inner power which we need to bring forth this work. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.